106.3 KXNO. BMW Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. At the bottom of the hour, John Bowenkamp from the Associated Press, HawkeyeNation.com, and Iowa College Hoops will join us. We will, I'm guessing, spend most of the hour on this game and looking forward to the Final Four, and why wouldn't we? Just a terrific game last night. Bowenkamp on the Hawkeyes at 11:30. 12:05, it is opening day, and I've wanted to get Tommy Burch in here to talk baseball, and we're going to do it here at 12:05, taking a look on what the Iowa's roster looks like, some of the potential, how long they'll be here, PCA amongst the top of that list, perhaps. Brown's already gone up. Ben Brown has the pitcher. So we'll talk baseball with Tommy Burch at 12:05. And then at 12:30, the first of our weekly segments on the NFL draft, Matt Manasseran from Sports Info Solutions. He's been with us for the last, three or four years. He's back with us again. He's a former NFL scout for the Browns and the Saints. And he'll take us inside this NFL draft and do so for the first time today at 12:30. About 10 minutes before one, plays of the day. Trent has those. Couple of NIT games on tap tonight. We'll see if they make the cut or not. But we start where we... And I can't wait to see the television numbers. Yes. Where the country was last night. And that was watching Iowa and LSU and then dovetailing into USC and UConn. But Trent, what a night.
It was amazing. And
what can't she do?
Nothing.
I'm starting to think that's the case.
Yeah. That's, you know, as we were breaking down the game yesterday and we were talking about some of the issues, some of the concerns that were there, and the rebounding definitely showed up, and especially in that first quarter.
How about Angel Reese?
Just an
20
absolute
boards.
Yeah, she was a monster in foul trouble and having that kind of performance and turning her ankle. And that was a concern that we had about that angle. And if they knocked down some shots, well, they're playing at a pace and they were happy to play a pace with Iowa and those kind of things. And yet, the third quarter of just shot after shot after
shot.
She
took over.
And each one was longer. So there was the thing that I've been looking for, and we haven't seen as much, where they put the distance on each one. Mm. And it was one of those little highlight packages. First one was 24 feet, then 25, then 26. And the dagger, 30 feet, 7 inches away.
Amazing.
And the 4 3-pointers in the third quarter of the game. Iowa held a lead, never relinquished it, and away they go. And now this can be considered, at minimum, a successful season.
I agree with you. Back to the Final Four and back-to-back years at Iowa.
Right.
You're not at UConn. You're not at Tennessee under Pat Summitt. You're at Iowa. I couldn't agree with you more, Trent. Whether they take that next step or not, to be in the Final Four in consecutive years, I know that the country's going to poo-poo that a little bit, but you have to remember who we're talking about here. We're not talking about Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about LSU. We're talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes, who may never get back there again.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it took them 30 years to get there from their first appearance with 1993 with C. Vivian Stringer, and you just never know. Recruiting's on an uptick, but there's no sure thing. And there's
22's never going to play again after this weekend.
There's no Caitlin Clark. There just isn't. And it's going to be unfair, whoever takes over as point guard, whoever takes over as that lead role, because the expectations are going to be out of whack. But what a performance last night.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't just her. It was...
Can I tell you who I thought before? Who do you think was played as an important role as any? Kate Martin got her points.
Yes, and she was great. That fadeaway.
She was great. Oh, my God.
The left wing.
How about O'Grady?
She was incredible. And how many times have I stated throughout the course of the year, there's going to be a moment they're going to need Addison O'Grady to play at a high level.
And it was last night.
And she played at a high level.
Look, statistically, sure, stats don't jump off the box score, but what she did playing against Morrow and Reese and those bigs that Mulkey kept putting out on the floor, not necessarily height big, but, you know, big bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out there just banging around and keeping her arms above her head and staying out of foul trouble. What did she pick up? She didn't approach foul trouble at all. And she's on the floor when, obviously, LSU was doing their utmost to try and cut into this lead. But she was terrific. I thought O'Grady might have been one of the unsung heroes on this roster last night.
They needed her. A couple of run-aheads that were very good. Hit that jumper at the end of the first half. But the defense that she played. And just bringing some more size in there. Stulke got in foul trouble.
Yep.
And they had to turn that direction. And she was
But when she picked up her first foul, 50 seconds or whatever in the game, Stulke, I'm thinking, oh, God.
Yeah, here we go.
This is the last thing they need.
Iowa jumps out to an early lead. Caitlin scores the first 5 points of the game for Iowa. Three-pointer with Van Lith on her.
Mm-hmm.
That game plan, we talked about the game plan from Colorado. Same thing here. Kim Mulkey Lisa Bluder and company coached circles around her last night.
Yep.
Talked about the motivational angle, and she loves to use those. But X's and O's wise, Lisa Bluder and staff were immensely better than what we saw. That was a terrible game plan. And trying to run with Iowa. I understand LSU also plays at pace. Yeah, they're happy to play that way.
You don't want to run with these
guys.
You
just don't. Nope. I don't understand what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. How about this? First quarter, they have a 9 assists, and they're made field goals in the first quarter.
Right.
Second quarter, they didn't have an assist.
It's unbelievable.
Third quarter, they had 2. Mm. Not sharing the basketball, not doing what was getting you going, and that's getting the ball inside. It was a terrible game plan, and Iowa executed the way that they needed to, and it was Kate Martin. How about the play of Gabby Marshall defensively?
Yes.
Flashy Johnson steal. Is
she was
a stud.
Unbelievable.
She's
player.
Great. She is so good.
She's the best player on the roster.
And she might be, we talk about Juju next year.
Yeah.
It could be Flashy. She is so talented.
And she'll be a junior next year, right?
Yes. Yeah. And listening to her comments after the game, you know, she said last year, got to have a taste of it. This year, bigger role. Next year's my year, and it's going to be.
It's going to be her year.
I mean, her Williams
in a backcourt. Kim Mulkey's comments after the game, too.
Yes.
I thought they were spot on.
It was a different side of Kim Mulkey that I don't think any of us were really used to.
In defeat. Little humility shown by Kim Mulkey, I thought. Maybe it's always there. Who knows?
Right.
Oh, my God. Just incredible watching that unfold. I will say this. Quit fouling at the end of the game. Gabby Marshall, let her shoot. Caitlin Clark, let her shoot.
Right. You're up double digits. Right.
No end was. Where's Bluder? She's on with Pat. What's his cousin, Pat McAfee? Looks like she's on a bus.
Oh, really?
Maybe are they busing from Albany to Cleveland?
I would guess they're probably busing to the airport.
To the airport?
That would be my anticipation. Mm-hmm. Don't think they're going to make that.
Now, they're not coming home, are they?
No, no. At least last year they didn't from Seattle, and there was an extra day, if memory serves. In between a year ago, because I think they played Sunday. Regardless. They're going straight to Cleveland, though, as they did a year ago down to Dallas. So it's straight back on the road. Mm. You're at Cleveland and for a couple of days. You know, and I remember that a year ago they talked about, again, that insular nature that we brought up and being away from home, but just that team building that you get on the road all together, those kind of things, and how important it was.
And the pressure, because Caitlin Clark admitted it. It was the best thing they could do was get away from Iowa City.
Yes, there's no doubt.
And it shows.
Get away from the distraction. Uh-huh. Get away from the
environment. Did you see a different Caitlin Clark on the floor? More composure maybe than... And maybe when they got the lead, maybe that had something to do with it. But they were tied at halftime, were they not?
It was 45 apiece.
Right. But I didn't see any of the histrionics that come with her.
Mm-hmm. There was one of those third quarter three-pointers that she let out a big yell. Mm-hmm. But for her, it was subdued.
Mm-hmm.
That was not what we normally see out of her. And
a couple of times her hand to her ear. Let's go pick it up. It's like the Hawkeye fans.
But that was about it.
Yeah.
She was just locked in. You know, when Iowa got down 8, beginning of the second quarter, one player we haven't mentioned is Sydnia Fulter.
She was great.
And this isn't to discredit Molly Davis, but Iowa, at this stage, is a better basketball
with
team
her.
With a Fulter.
Yep.
Because Molly Davis, though she can handle it well, you don't need a ton of that. You got 22.
Sure.
Just let her handle the ball and go that direction. A Fulter, inside, outside, defensively, what she can do. A good rebounder for her size. The toughness.
I think she... Did she lead the team? Maybe she didn't. She got a bunch of them.
She had 16 points, 5 rebounds last night.
Okay.
And leader was actually Caitlin Clark at 7.
Of course she was.
Of course. Of course. 6 also for Kate Martin. But a Fulter, couple of huge, huge three-pointers when they really needed them at different moments. If they miss that shot, LSU comes down with the momentum, an 8-point lead, hits another bucket, it gets double digits. You never know. But we came back to this yesterday. We both leaned LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But we said... One team's got 22.
Yeah, best player on the floor is wearing an Iowa uniform.
And in the biggest moments, in the biggest times, she was the one that came up.
Yep.
The biggest every single time. She is absolutely amazing. Some of the numbers are ridiculous too, right? I mean, when you talk about number of times in an NCAA tournament team since 1980s, when assists became an statistic for NCAA basketball, 40 points, 10 assists in a game, all men's and women's players combined, 0. Caitlin Clark.
Jesus.
Nobody does this.
Nobody does it. Nobody does it. Angel Reese's 5th foul. I liked the call.
You did. I
did.
I thought they...
Did you?
Yeah, I thought
she put her shoulder down.
She did.
I don't care that whoever's guarding her wasn't stationary.
It was Martin.
Was it Martin? Mm-hmm. She's allowed to be moving. I thought she dropped her shoulder and initiated the contact. Would the contact have been there had she not initiated her shoulder? Yes, it would have been. And I would have been okay with it there. But when she dropped it, I thought, you know what? She's out.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, that and it's just getting, Gabby Marshall's getting criticized for this on Twitter. If she was waving, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. And Angel Reese would say, good for you.
Yeah.
I don't think she was.
I didn't think so either.
You know what she's doing?
It's five.
Five.
Yeah.
That's five fouls.
That's five.
That's not a wave.
No.
That's, your fingers are spread apart. Mm-hmm. That's five. David Eicholt's all over this today.
Yeah.
He's trying to brew up a controversy where one's not there. There were a couple of times on Twitter last night. Look, if there was, embrace it. Both of the teams embrace it. Embrace it going in. Trash talking is good for the game. It is. But I don't think that's what she was doing. I don't.
I didn't either. I didn't see it that way. I saw it exactly the same direction, though. We saw the foul call. That was a tough one on Reese.
Yeah.
They had a little bit of momentum there.
They did.
Wonder
if that's they, for sure.
If they do call a foul on Martin on that play.
It was a game changer. There's no question about that. But I thought they got it right.
Morrow was great. Flaje Johnson was great.
Yep.
This is a very talented
Williams
LSU team.
Making her threes.
Throughout this season, we have kept, I'd say, this Iowa team at arm's distance. Is that fair? That they could win a national championship? Even get to a Final Four?
I didn't think they could.
I didn't think so either.
I didn't think they were going to get back this far.
And now, they're favored against UConn. South Carolina, if they get them, they're gettable. It's not the scary behemoth that it was a year ago. And of course, they won that game last year.
Right.
But they can win a national championship.
I think they can. UConn's not going to roll over.
No,
UConn's a really good team.
No. And Gino Auriemma will have a much better game plan than what Colorado and LSU tried out the last two
years. For sure. And Gino Auriemma's already starting to get into it because he's walking back in a big way his comments about his star being better than Iowa's star. So that's certainly going to be a talking point as we approach that game. You know where I want to go there? And I want to do a little bit of mea culpa. Because I remember last, I don't know, July, August, when it became apparent that Lisa Bluter, at least from where I sit and what I said, was doing absolutely nothing to help this roster.
Yes.
And what the hell are you thinking? You've got a generational talent. If you have to spend your own money. Make it happen. Bring somebody in. And I remember going crazy. And you and I got into a pretty heated debate over it. She didn't. The roster was intact. And despite losing what she did, and they lost a lot, here they are. Lisa Bluter, you don't get enough credit. Because we talk about Caitlin Clark to her blue in the face, understandably so. We talk about Kate Martin, her roommate, understandably so. Gabby Marshall on defense, Stalky trying to take the place for Sinano. But Lisa Bluter, well done.
They tried. They reached out to Marl.
Yep.
They reached out to UCLA's Lauren Betts.
Yep.
They tried.
Yep.
But you have to have reciprocation. You have
Somebody has to want to come and play there. Yeah.
And is it, hey, I want to be the star. I want to be that person. I don't want to have to acquiesce. Now,
that could have been Van Lith's excuse. She just wanted to go win a national championship. Because you're not going to be a star on that team.
And they didn't sound like reached out to her. And I don't think a surprise. I don't think there's no
love lost. Was there something there when they were in AAU or something? I'm trying to think back to last year.
Yeah. Because if memory serves, Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers were a lot closer than Van Lith and her.
That's kind of why. Now, of course, I wasn't following it at the time.
Now, was it jawing in a practice? Was it an AAU event? Whatever it was. But reading between the lines, I think we could kind of get that.
Yep.
Yes, they were, I think, teammates on the Team USA team, but they were not friends. They were not friends like Beckers is with Caitlin Clark. It was a different kind of level, and you saw that one there. And Lisa Bluter said this. She said, there just weren't many teams that we thought were going to help our roster.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just bringing in a player to bring a player. You know, O'Grady, we talked about her performance last night. We thought she was going to be the starter. And how about that? You think you're going to be a starter on this rock star tour. You're going to be the Beatles. And you're not. And not only that, you're scraping for minutes. I mean, there's times that O'Grady didn't get off the bench throughout the course of this season.
Guessing she will this weekend after last night.
But to be ready to go
in
that environment, in that spot, against, if not the best, one of the best post players in the country that is dominating the game, and to come in and play at that level.
God, she's good, isn't she, Angel Reese? My God.
That talks about the Iowa culture.
Uh-huh.
And those are the things that you and I can miss.
Mm-hmm.
The culture aspect of it, we probably overlook a little bit too much because it is about having the right fit. It's about that family. It's about those things. Now, having 22 as a great equalizer.
Sure.
As teams maybe have a little bit more raw talent, but Kate Martin's a hell of a player.
Oh, God.
You know, and for a little girl that grew up dreaming of being a Hawkeye, Jan Jensen's her aunt, and just, and to get that opportunity. I look back at her bio because I wondered, was she even, she wasn't a top 100 player. She was first team All-State only as a senior, averaged 16 a game her senior year in high school. And to turn out into what she has been.
Jeez.
Gabby Marshall was a fringe top 100 player. UConn's got seven McDonald's All-Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, the rosters are different.
It's young, too. This is a young roster I was going to play on Friday.
I believe the highest rated player outside of Caitlin Clark on this roster is Hannah Stolke. She was like a top 40 type of player. That's what it was. Afeer Bach, she was a good top 60 type of player. A couple other players are at that level, but nobody like that. Nobody like UConn has, not the raw talent.
Yeah.
And yet the way that they come together, the team building aspect of it, and we talked about going junk defenses, doing different things. What they did defensively in the second quarter, changing what they did defensively, that's the coaching staff. And Lisa Bluter, you know, she's like everyone's nice aunt, right?
Yeah.
And she's really easy to root for, and she's just a nice lady. And yeah, maybe she'll get ticked off at times like she did in Nebraska. But that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But she can also, she knows the game incredibly well.
God.
And I think at times we overlook that aspect of the way that she has won at a high level now with completely different rosters. She's done it consistently year after year, and it took a while to break through and to get to a Sweet 16. Now, three Elite Eights in the last five seasons, two Incredible. Final Fours, back-to-back seasons. This is a great basketball coach.
No, it is. It is. We'll see if they can maintain it. Obviously going to be difficult to do because the generational talent's walking out the door, as we know, but enjoy the run while it's on. Friday night, late game. South Carolina will have, and I think it will have taken care of business by the time Iowa and UConn take the floor. It'll be somewhere after 8 o'clock, right? Is that what it's scheduled to tip? Eight?
Yeah.
So probably 8:15, 8:30, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, because we're talking about 25 minutes between games on top of it.
Yeah, so because they're in the same venue.
The likelihood that they're going to tip right at 6 o'clock for the game. One doesn't appear real
well,
likely.
Well, because the Iowa LSU game tipped at 6:15 last night.
Yeah, they pushed that thing back. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the same thing, this might thing might be closer to 9.
Probably so. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's Friday night. You'll be all right.
Yep. Govern yourselves accordingly. Oh, it's going to be a blast. Let's get Jeff in here. He threatened to call back today, and here he is. Hello, Jeff. The floor is yours.
Hey, a couple things. You know, I heard on Dan Patrick that I want to kind of touch up here. They mentioned, you know, Caitlin kind of just had a subpar freshman year. She wasn't really in the eye. She had 27-6-5. Hold the brakes there. And secondly, you know, she got recruited by Iowa State and Notre Dame and a couple other teams. That's absolutely false. She was recruited damn near about everybody, and there's rumors about UConn, and I don't need to get into the reasoning behind that, but everybody wanted her. It wasn't just a handful of teams. So let's just touch that up, number one. Number two, last night, you guys have touched on it, Gabby playing 40 minutes. What a dog that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting O'Grady to play 15 to 19 minutes, whatever it was, and kind of stopping Angel Reese. You can say what you want about her ankle or da-da-da-da. Here's the biggest thing is that she pushed, which is crazy to say, she pushed Angel. Angel was catching it at the block against Stolke. She was giving her knee in the back to get her up almost about at the elbow. That was crucial. And then she made missed maybe a bunny, but, you know, O'Grady, you know, scored a couple of points, which is fine. You guys touched base on it, and Kim said this as well. When Marshall's getting 21 or whatever she got, and
Martin,
you know, Martin and Sydney's getting 18, 19, they're really, really tough to beat. And I haven't even touched on Caitlin. Caitlin with 9 threes, scoring 40-some points. And it's, you know, the national media, and you guys already touched on it, the national media, meaning she has to win it for her legacy. For Iowa, it's our state to go to back-to-back Final Fours. And, again, Trent has mentioned this with one McDonald's All-American. You know, so it's remarkable, and I'm just going to lend, you know, kind of a mic drop on this. Yeah, injury, she is the Princess Barbie, but we have a queen in our state, and that is checkmate. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call.
Jeff brought up the other teams. I've heard the story, and I don't know what I was calling the game.
Yeah.
But I want to say it was either sophomore or junior year for Caitlin Clark. Gina was there.
Yeah.
Or Emma.
So he was there.
He was there. He was there scouting,
uh-huh.
And the story goes, and I don't know the validity to it because I didn't see
it. So was this at the well?
No. It was a regular season
game.
And he walked out. He walked out before the game was over, and Caitlin was turning it over, and yell at our teammates. And the story goes, and this is just a story, but the one I'm heard.
And you were calling the game.
I was calling the game.
Was it at Dowling?
It wasn't at Dowling. I want to say it was at Waukee, but I can't remember for sure.
Okay.
Then he walked out and says, I'm not watching this bleep anymore.
Is that right?
Now, that's the story. The validity, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Caitlin,
well, let's
had,
make it a story this week.
Caitlin had opportunities, though. Yeah. Caitlin had offers.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people
didn't.
But
apparently one didn't come from him?
I don't know if she had an official offer or what it was, but everybody was involved. Mm-hmm. Everybody was, quote-unquote, recruiting her. Did she have an offer?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. Did they look at Becker's and say... Yeah,
well, that's what I'm wondering. You take both if you can? You're UConn.
You're UConn. Yeah, you figure it out, right? You just get the talent there and you figure it out. But that was a story that I always heard. The story that I also heard that, well, we found out more on the ESPN article, she was going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
She was going
to
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
And I know I've relayed this story before on the air with you, but it was before maybe your ears were a little muffled when you were, we were talking about basketball.
Yeah, get through this, Connor. Come on. Yeah. The goal is to keep the audience.
And
now we can't get enough.
She had let the Iowa coaching staff know that she was likely going to commit to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
But what she asked is for a week or two, just
lay me alone.
I'm going to go in my bubble here, figure this thing out. And I was the only coaching staff that really did that, that gave her her space.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important.
I think that was part of the article.
Was it?
That they gave her her space, too.
Yeah.
Did you read the piece yet?
No, just when we did that debut.
Holy crap, it's good. So you know when Bluter was told, so Caitlin Clark phoned, Bluter and her husband were out for dinner.
Oh, okay.
In some restaurant, I don't know where they were, but called... and said, can I talk to you? You've got a couple of minutes. No, I'm at dinner. Call me back. Of course she's going to take the call, right? So they ordered champagne right away. They ate their meal. They got someone to pick them up, went and stopped and got another bottle of champagne and went to Jan Jensen's place.
That's great.
And popped it there. And then Caitlin had to make the most difficult. She said it was tough to call Notre Dame to let them know she's not coming. But her most difficult conversation that we had, that she was about to have, was with her mom.
Really?
Because she had never gone against her mom's wishes in her life. And her mom wanted her to go to Notre Dame in the worst way. So she committed to Iowa and then went to tell mom.
That's interesting. Yeah, really good stuff. I think people know I have a pretty close connection to the women's basketball team. One of my roommates at Iowa, his wife, was on the staff for a long time as the head trainer. Now, she doesn't work specifically with women's basketball. She works for the whole athletic department. And so that's where some of these stories were. Some of the stories that I've received is through that. And I don't get them at the same level anymore because she's not there on a daily basis. But you know, this was not an easy thing. This was not. They joked about it on the press conference on Sunday about getting a technical and practice.
Yeah.
It was tough on the coaching staff. And
had to be.
You know, just getting Caitlin to realize it's not just about the talent. Mm-hmm. It's about the team building aspect and those kind of things. I got to get through the rest of that.
It's about maturing is what it is.
And we see a mature young woman that has the world by the tail.
Oh, my God.
Whatever she wants.
Yeah.
She is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're just watching that game. We're not going to see anything like this. We're just not.
Nope.
This is not going to happen.
Nope.
In either of our lives, that we're going to see a transcendent star from our state.
Name somebody who's about to change a sport.
It's not going to happen.
Right? What she was on the cusp of doing a couple of years ago and subsequent to that has done. What's going to change? There's nothing.
Right. Katie Ledecky was an amazing talent.
Yeah.
Did she change swimming?
No. No, we heard of Mark Spitz.
Yeah, Michael Phelps.
Right, he was pretty good too. Michael Phelps changed swimming. Go to the 72 Olympics. Check that out.
We saw Spencer Lee come through as a great wrestler.
Phenomenal.
A great kid, great story.
Yeah.
It didn't change his sport.
He's not the best wrestler at his program, right?
Yeah.
That would be, another guy.
This is something we will never see.
Never.
And enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. If this is something that makes you miserable, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm with you.
How you can watch that and not have joy. And even if it is your rival, mm-hmm. and not just enjoy.
Here's what you can enjoy. She's got two games tops left.
Yes.
And then she's gone forever.
Off to the WNBA.
Right.
And how about Mulkey saying.
That was great.
It was, yeah.
Kim Mulkey was terrific in defeat last night. She really was. I love. I'm glad that the camera stuck with Caitlin going through the line. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see her in Angel Reese. That was good television.
Yes.
I wanted to see her in Mulkey. We got that. I like the commentator. What's his name? Rococo?
Yes.
Ryan Rococo and Rebecca Lobo. They were really good.
It was a fun one.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. We'll take a timeout. It's David Eicholt is going to join us, so that's good. I want to have not a bone to pick with Eicholt.
Yeah, yeah.
I just see it differently than
right.
he did.
And that's okay.
Absolutely. So we'll get into that. But more, it's not about Eicholt. We're going to talk about the game. Now, will he head to Cleveland? Is there a bunch more Iowa media making their way to Cleveland? Because it's drivable.
Well,
It's a haul, but it's not like you haven't done it before. It's 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours from here, 8 hours from Eastern Iowa, and that's 7 for Cakert and Company, guys mm-hmm. like that. Not going to be able to make the trip this year.
You're not going to be able to pull the trigger?
No, we talked about it last night. The tickets. Have you seen the secondary market for these tickets?
I have, Trent. And what you said yesterday, what was it?
$300 you could get in the
but
door.
But it was late in the show you were talking
yeah,
about it
yeah.
for the first time, I think, and you looked and it was $300. But as soon as Iowa won,
mm-hmm.
that ticket tripled?
Yeah. And last night, I saw somebody had a screenshot. The cheapest price was $1,200. Now, that's gone down. But you're still talking after fees, minimum $800.
To get in.
To get in the door to sit in the upper deck.
Yeah.
Towards the top of the
arena. You're not having courtside service.
No. What you think about it, that kind
for
of that, price.
For that money, yeah.
Not going to happen. It has gone up exponentially. Mm. You have UConn, a huge fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Hartford, biggest city yep. in Connecticut,
yep.
is 8 hours away.
Okay.
South Carolina. And I kind of wondered, I'm like kind of thinking of the map. That's got to be a little bit of a haul.
It seems like it would be.
9 hours.
Okay.
From
so,
Columbia,
yeah.
South Carolina.
So about the same.
Very drivable.
Yeah.
And then from Iowa City, you're talking about 8 hours mm-hmm. to get there. You got fan bases that are going to travel in high numbers. It's not a big arena. After next season, after Caitlin's gone on, after she has moved on, is the women's Final Four outgrowing arenas? Are we going to get to a level where you have to find bigger buildings?
Mm.
Where do you put it in a dome? Now, you don't have to have the dome with a court in the middle like they do for
right.
the men's side. But put it up against the side and do it that way where you can get 30, 35, 40,000 in the building.
Interesting.
We'll have to see next season
mm-hmm.
because that will change it. But if this sport continues to grow and the comet that it's on right
women's
now.
Women's sports are growing in general.
It is, yes. Big time way.
Mm-hmm.
There's been many champions for it, and yep. it is great to see.
Yep.
If you watch that and your takeaway, well, they don't dunk. I can't watch it.
Yeah, please.
Come on. I mean, it's simpleton thinking.
Yeah.
That was an amazing environment, an amazing game. This has been an amazing run.
Uh-huh.
And if that's your takeaway, you don't know ball.
No. Oh, what a night. There's at least one more of them. Friday night, 8:30, probably 9 o'clock tip-off, somewhere in that range. And South Carolina will play in advance of that. Did you watch much of the late game, UConn and USC? Was it put the kids to bed at that point?
Yeah, put them to bed, and then they dug right back into it in another entertaining game.
Yeah.
High-level performances.
Yeah.
Juju's going to be a stud. I mean, mm-hmm. she was excellent at stretches of that game. A couple of three-pointers to get them back into it. UConn couldn't put them away. Missed 6 free throws down the stretch. Paige Beckers is limited physically from what she was 3 years ago. 2 ACL injuries.
That'll do it.
You can definitely mm-hmm. see that. But she is so smart.
No, she is.
She
between
is an,
years.
Oh, man.
They got a really talented roster. Mm-hmm. Edwards is terrific. Even like Brady, who was better in the first half than she was in the second half. She was really good in the first half. They don't got that Mull, the guard, mm-hmm. Mule Mull, I think is how you say her name. She's, it's going to be great theater. This is going to be a good game again. I just hope, and I don't think that this is going to be the case, that last night was in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was all about LSU and Iowa, the rematch, blah, blah, blah. I love Caitlin Clark's quote at the end of the game where it's not about, I want to find it because it's really good. Something about where your feet are. You don't live in the past.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Yeah.
It was a really good quote. And for that reason.
I think I have it here in my notes.
Do you?
Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, Chad Lysnikow had the quote up on Twitter.
Okay.
This was no sort of revenge game for us. I feel like you live in the past too much. It kind of ruins the present. That's what we talked about. Just be where your feet are. And the biggest thing for us in this game was worry about Iowa.
There you go.
That is a great quote.
It is.
That's a great quote for life.
Yeah.
For basketball, for sport. That is just a wonderful way to live.
It's past 11:30. David Eichel joining us at 11:30. No, he's not. We got a break to get through. We'll do that. He will be here when we come back. Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. By the way, Drake has a new head coach. Wouldn't know it if you listened to the first 35 minutes of the program. Apologies.
We'll get there.
We'll get to Ben McCollum. Absolutely. I'd like to hire. On the surface, I think Harden did a really nice job. We'll see. He's obviously got to recruit his roster. Programming note, coming up today at 2 o'clock, Murph and Andy have Jamie Pollard. All right, let's get to David Eicholt. He covers Iowa for HawkeyeInsider.com 24/7 Sports, and he joins the program. David Eicholt, good to speak with you. Why can't I get it to come on here, Trent? What am I doing wrong?
I don't know. I can help you out, though.
There we go. I got him.
All right.
Good stuff. Hello, David, Trent, and Ken. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Appreciate you coming on. Obviously, want to get into the game. I just want to bring something up. You and I have to see this differently. I don't think Gabby Marshall was waving. I think she held up five fingers. That's your fifth foul, Angel Reese. I mean, I hope she was waving because that makes another layer to this incredible rivalry. And I think both the LSU players and the Iowa players would appreciate if Gabby Marshall was waving. But I thought she held up five fingers, David. You saw it differently.
Here's the thing. I thought it was a slight wave. Maybe her intent was to say five, but she kind of opened and closed her fist really quick. But I also thought I'm a professional lip reader, my secondary career, right? I thought she said bye-bye when you take a look at her. So that's also why I kind of thought that she was waving at her.
Yeah, bye-bye, five fouls. Yeah, who knows? Anyways, that's not the story of the game. Obviously, what we saw on the floor was just incredible theater last night. It really was. We can talk all day about Caitlin Clark. We spent the first 35 minutes essentially doing that. I thought Addison O'Grady's contribution last night, David, was something Trent's been wondering when it's coming, mm-hmm. thought it was going to be there, has been calling for it for most of the season. Yeah, she only played 15 minutes. Statistically, box score wouldn't say that she was a huge difference maker, but boy, I thought she played a massive role in that win last night. How about that?
Yeah, I'm happy you brought her up. I thought she essentially helped Iowa win the game. I mean, Hannah Stolke, you know, she's been tremendous this season, one of Iowa's best players. It was a bad matchup for Hannah. I mean, Angel Reese is Angel Reese for a reason. Angel Reese's first quarter was absolutely tremendous. And if you really split it, if you're splitting hairs here and you get into everything, the second half, when Addison O'Grady, she played 11 minutes, and I need to get into more of the actual analytics of this, but Angel Reese was 1 of 10 in that second half. And I'm giving most of the credit to Addison O'Grady. One of her strengths for this team and one of her strengths in general is to play defense without fouling. She is so good at just standing straight up, which does not sound like a high-level skill, but if you watch low post players, everybody's trying to use their athleticism. Everybody's trying to make a big play on the ball. And that's exactly how LSU gets players in foul trouble. Angel Reese was not used to people going straight up on her. And it really frustrated her. I know some people want to blame the ankle injury. The ankle injury is not impacting if you make a shot within 3 feet of the basket, okay? I don't want to hear that. It affected maybe some of her drop step moves and other than that. But I thought Addison O'Grady, she hit a mid-range jumper, hit a couple free throws, you know, grabbed four rebounds. But her defense on Angel Reese, I really thought just completely flustered LSU, and that's exactly how Iowa pulled away in that third quarter.
It was a great third quarter. The offense was clicking, and LSU, the game plan, trying to run with Iowa. I know they play a fast tempo. I understand it. Kim Mulkey, Lisa Bluter, coached circles around her yesterday.
Poor Haley Van Lith.
Oh, boy.
It almost reminded me of when Iowa kept trotting out Deacon Hill in the bowl game.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
I mean, there's nothing she could do, and she's going viral. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some plays where I thought she was making, you know, decent defensive effort. I had a hand in her face, but what else are you supposed to do if Caitlin Clark hits you at the five dribble combo and steps back to her left from 30 feet out and hits the bottom of the net with despite your hand in your face? I don't care if it's Angel Reese or Haley Van Lith, but Haley Van Lith was getting absolutely dragged on social media. It's not been a season for her to remember. I actually think, quite frankly, it could potentially ruin her career, her transferring to LSU. It reminded me of Kevin Durant going, you know, to the Warriors and ring chasing, except Kevin Durant actually got the ring. But, man, I just thought Lisa Bluter coached circles around Kim Mulkey. And it was interesting, too, that LSU tried to run with Iowa, because if you go back to the UCLA game, I thought LSU was exhausted by 2 minutes left in the third quarter. So if they were exhausted playing UCLA, Iowa's conditioning is absolutely unbelievable. Gabby Marshall playing 40 minutes, Caitlin Clark playing 40 minutes, Kate Martin 38, Sydney Falter 37, and it looked like they could go for another half of basketball. I was just so impressed with them last night.
You mentioned a Falter. She's played, I think, you would know more than I. Her best three games of the year statistically have been her last three. I know that there's more opportunities there without Molly D on the floor. But, boy, has she stepped up. And, you know, it's no longer just Caitlin and Kate Martin. When now with a Falter, add her to the mix, away we go, right?
If Iowa wins the national title, it's because Sydney Falter shows up and shows out. Caitlin Clark is going to be the main reason why Iowa gets to where they want to get to. If they do, it's the reason why they've gotten this far. But one of the keys for me last night was players other than Caitlin Clark hitting three-pointers, which is kind of funny considering Caitlin Clark took 20 three-pointers last night, converting nine of them. Sydney Falter, though, I mean, it's been unbelievable. Averaged 4 points a year against top 25 teams. Now, again, she was playing a bench role, getting, you know, low double-digit minutes. I understand that. But her willingness to be patient and understand her talent is far exceeding her minutes, but still be all in on this Iowa team. I find that has great maturity. I thought she showed up. I thought she showed out last night. 5 rebounds, hitting free throws, 16 points. She just does whatever Iowa needs. And I think she's going to be an all-Big Ten caliber player next season. I think she'll be a focal point alongside Hannah Stolke and what I believe will be a transfer point guard coming in next season. Nothing done deal there, but we're throwing out there. But Sydney Falter, if Iowa wins the national title, it's because she stepped up, and she's been so impressive to me. She did not win sixth woman of the year in the Big Ten, which I thought was an oversight. And I will say this, for people who just started watching Iowa, Sydney Falter is not a sixth player. She'd be a top option on a lot of women's college basketball teams, and I think that's exactly why she's been built for the run that we've seen on her from her this postseason, even going back to the Big Ten tournament.
She's going to be a go-to player certainly next season, and ooh, transfer point guard. All right,
did she just enter the portal the last couple of days? Because there was a for Virginia Tech, maybe.
Oh, the Georgia Amore?
Georgia Amore. Yeah, Amore. Yeah, I'd be shocked if she didn't go with Kenny Brooks to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I think she has a do not contact label.
Oh, but, man, that's done.
If there's a do not contact label, if that wasn't checked, you know, Lisa Bluter, Raina Harmon, whoever it is, you get. You know, I don't know if she can take NIL because she's from Australia, but I don't know the intricacies of her visa or anything like that. But man, you throw a chunk of change at her, because if you think about her with Taylor McCabe, Sydney Falter, Hannah Stolke, and Ava Hyden, the 6'5" freshman coming in. It's a pretty, pretty solid starting five.
Well, didn't they relax that NIL to foreign players at the end of Torrey Taylor's career? Didn't I see that?
I think so, but again, I don't know what her visa situation looks like. I think you have to kind of get into the weeds about that. But, yeah, like I said, if she was available, I think we'll go with Kenny Brooks. But, man, you talk about a perfect fit. But I think Lisa Bluter and them have a couple of tricks up their sleeve. And let's put it this way, back-to-back Final Four appearances is a whole lot more attractive than a Final Four appearance.
So the revenge tour continues. It goes from Colorado, team they saw, of course, LSU in the national championship. Here's UConn that knocked them out of the tournament a couple of years back. Gino Auriemma, did he recruit Caitlin? What was happening there? Plenty of storylines. Though they're injured, they're banged up. UConn still has 7 McDonald's All-Americans on that roster. Have you started to take a peek forward to Friday night in the matchup?
I'm excited. I will say I'm very surprised Iowa's favored. To be honest with you, I was surprised they were favored against LSU. I'm even more surprised that they're favored by 2.5 right now against UConn. Look, Paige Beckers is Paige Beckers. Like, I think Caitlin's the best player in women's college basketball history, but I'll tell you, Paige Beckers, if she was healthy, she'd probably be right up there with Caitlin. Her all-around game is absolutely unbelievable. Her defense is great. Block shots, rebound. Her efficiency from the floor is tremendous. I mean, I think she'll get it done if she had 7 McDonald's All-Americans, 6 other McDonald's All-Americans or not. But this is a team right now where if you thought LSU lacked depth, UConn, it's not even depth. They don't have bodies available. Mm-mm. They have 8 healthy players on their roster. I think only 6 of them play. So, you know, Iowa, I think, needs to push the pace. Mm-hmm. I think they need to try to get Paige Beckers in foul trouble. Hannah Stolke, I think, got some good experience against Anissa Morrow. Angel Reese, but I'll tell you, Aaliyah Edwards is a different beast. Aaliyah Edwards is a top 5 WNBA draft pick. She's going to have a really, really tough matchup because she's also crazy athletic at 6'4". K.K. Arnold's a really good defender. Paige Beckers is obviously as efficient as can be, but this is going to be a fun game. But I'll say this, too. Of any team left, I'll even go back to Elite Eight. If Iowa advances and plays South Carolina, not to look too far ahead, but I think Iowa's the most built team to take down South Carolina, if anybody left in the field.
Wouldn't that be unbelievable? We shall see. Good stuff, David Eichel, 24/7 Sports, HawkeyeInsider.com. David, thank you for giving us a few minutes here today. Anything percolating men's-wise? Any names that you hear might be getting close to becoming Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think we're still a few weeks out. I mean, I know the portal's moving fast, but Iowa is contacting a lot of point guards right now in the portal, and I think that's the right decision. I love what Brock Harding brings to the table, but I think they need an athletic four, and I think they need some guard depth. But I do like Chris Tadjo coming in, Cooper Koch. I mean, they have some good pieces, but they need a primary point guard, and they need an athletic four. So I just say stay tuned.
Last thing, do you know who's kicking the tires on Perkins and Patrick McCaffrey? Any schools gone public?
Yeah, so I know Patrick has a lot of high major. I'm going to say look for Butler. I think Creighton's kind of kicking the tires around there. I think DePaul's kicking the tires around there with Chris Holtman. I think there's going to be a lot of schools interested in him. And for Tony Perkins, I'll say Indiana might be throwing him some chunk of change. Mm-hmm. So if he stays in the Big Ten, I mean, that'd be kind of a – I don't know how Iowa fans would take that, but it'll be interesting to see. But Tony Perkins is clearly one of the most highly sought-after guys in the portal right now.
No doubt about it. HawkeyeInsider.com, David Eichel, giving us a few minutes. David, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Always appreciate talking to you.
Good to talk to you. David Eichholt, as we check in on the Hawkeyes and the men's program as well. So that's interesting. That sounds like already some work being done in the portal women's-wise for point guard. There is an opening.
Yes.
Will be.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Uh-huh. But as you said to begin the show, and it's kind of stuck with me, you want to be the person who follows that, right?
You always want to be the person that follows the person, right?
Right.
And those are going to be some big shoes.
Yeah, that's for sure. We'll take a timeout, come back, finish hour number one. We're going to move away from basketball in hour number two. It is opening day at Principal Park, believe it or not. We'll talk baseball with Tommy Burch at 12:05. Some of the names he expects to see there this summer. Look forward to talking baseball with Burchie. And then the NFL draft, ready or not, it's 3 weeks away. We will get our first of weekly segments with Matt Manasseran, former NFL scout for the Saints and the Browns. Now at Sports Info Solution, he's been in draft rooms. So we will talk draft with him for the next 3 weeks, beginning at 12:30 today. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. 5 before noon, hour number 2, baseball, football, picks. In that order, as we take you until 1. Trent, Ben McCollum, Drake's head coach. I like the hire. He's an Iowan. He's won, granted, Division II, but look, by the looks of things, by the looks of his resume, there's a whole lot of W's that yes. are coming with him. That works, right? I think that, some of the players wanted, some familiarity, but they didn't get that. I think Harden did pretty well here. Proof's in the pudding, obviously, but on the surface, yeah.
And what players? I mean, who's left? You're talking about... You're not talking about guys that are going to compete for an MVC title.
No, DeVries isn't coming back regardless of who.
Yeah, it's a blank slate.
Yep.
And this is what you have to do. You have to find the best coach.
Yep.
And I believe McCollum's the best coach.
And I think McCollum will probably talk some of the guys that are on the fence, like a Connor Enright, for instance.
Yeah.
I could see him, yeah, this guy's going to work.
Right.
Giving it a chance. So we'll talk more about it throughout the week. We'll get some, I'm going to try and get Kevin Lehman on here. Mm-hmm. Should be a pretty good source for that. So we'll talk more, Drake, coming up. Their introductory press conference is not till next Tuesday.
Oh, really?
So it's not like we'll miss anything. It's kind of, I thought the same thing.
Well, you got the Final Four coming up.
I think that's probably part of it.
That is a huge thing for assistant coaches.
Yep.
And making those connections, mm-hmm. and building a roster.
It's a job fair.
No doubt. Yep. And that's going to be a big one, making that jump up. But anybody in basketball circles that knows anything about D2 basketball says nothing but glowing things. Right. Talked to a couple people about them. They told me they believe this is a home run.
Yep.
This is as good as Drake could have realistically gotten as mm-hmm. a coach. And the story that was out there right away, even before he was hired, that he'd been kind of waiting for this job.
Yeah,
this was one that he had had his eye on. He'd had other opportunities in the MVC, but the Drake job was the one that he had his mm-hmm. eye on. I wonder why that is. Is it that they're finally investing in the program, something that they've been doing for 40 years? That helps, by the way.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I think Des Moines sells it.
I think so, too.
Right? It's the second biggest city in the Valley footprint. Yep. All right, Travis Dvorak, our friend at Wild Rose. Mm-hmm. Wild Rose, of course, in partnership with Circa, with Bet Rivers, and with DraftKings. They sent along some betting statistics from last night. What did Travis send along?
So this is from Bet Rivers, and last night's Iowa-LSU game was the most wagered on total money and most popular with total tickets women's basketball game in the history of Bet Rivers. WNBA.
In the history of Bet Rivers.
Of Bet Rivers.
Not just Bet Rivers, Iowa.
Right.
Wow.
Across the landscape. WNBA, Olympics, and of course, women's college basketball, the most bet on ever. The total handle in the game was greater than the total handle of 16 NFL games this past season.
It's pretty good. We're talking about football here.
That's unthinkable. Yeah, right. But not only that, the public won. Not this public, the other public.
But that public was glad to lose.
Iowa's Sweet 16 and Elite Eight victories resulted in the two biggest wins for the public.
Good.
On women's basketball games this season. Good for you, public.
I wonder if that was throughout the country or just in Iowa.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, did Nevada get clobbered?
I've learned that people don't like my emotional hedge. Had somebody comment on on the YouTube page for Locked On Hawkeyes about that. They just hate that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I was happy to have my $22 go up in flames yesterday. Yeah. I was completely fine with it. Now, if you bet a little higher volume, I'm sure it's a little bit different. But for $22, I'll pay for an Iowa loss.
Right. It's,
I think, a pretty good tit for tat,
investment,
if you will.
That's for certain.
Oh, boy. The way that thing went yesterday. And now what are we going to see for this? The turnaround is odd, though. Didn't they used to have it where it was Sunday Final Four, Tuesday National Championship?
I think you're right. I thought the same thing.
Maybe 15, 20 years ago, uh-huh. something like that.
But Sunday in the afternoon on ABC,
that's
television
hard to turn
numbers.
Down. That's a great call.
And by the way, we should get the numbers for last night game late this afternoon.
Yep. Saw that from Sports Media Watch. Said that usually ESPN releases those at about 3 o'clock.
About 3 o'clock?
Yep.
Good.
You do wonder, Bob Iger and whoever else makes the decisions, are they thinking about, it's probably too late now, to putting the Final Four games on ABC.
Mm.
I don't know what their Friday night lineup is.
You have no idea.
Yeah. It's not like it was.
Probably not, because it's prime time.
They don't have Urkel on anymore on Friday nights. I do know that.
I never saw Urkel in my life. He's
a
guy
you missed
suspenders,
out.
Suspenders, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, flaunting my Urkel knowledge. Anyways, hour number two is next. Tommy Burch, it's opening night at the ballpark. It's too bad it's like this. Why couldn't it be 65 and sunny? Oh, that's coming. So is Tommy Burch. We'll talk baseball with Burchy, NFL draft with Matt Manasseran. One more hour to go. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.